My guy, let Russ cook. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take on a Feel Good Friday. Molly Karen Rose here with the crew. Stephen A. Smith, Ryan Clark, Max Kellerman. We got a big show today, fellas. Tim Tebow will be with us later. Kendrick Perkins. It's going to be fun, but you know where I'm starting. With those Hawks taking the driver's seat in the division, taking down Arizona Thursday night football. What a game we had last night. Unfortunate news for Seahawks tight end Greg Olsen. He suffered ruptured fascia in his left foot. Max, I'm going to start with you here on this one. I know their defense is suspect, but do you think Seattle can win the Super Bowl this season?
Yes, absolutely Seattle can win the Super Bowl this season. I like the Chiefs. I think we all do. But does Seattle have a shot? Can they get out of the NFC? Absolutely. They were my preseason pick before, excuse me, the Saints were my preseason pick before Seattle dealt for Jamal Adams. And I thought that actually tipped it in Seattle's direction. Now, at the deadline, the Saints did certain things. Not only did they pick up Emmanuel Sanders, but they also picked up Quan Alexander, a solid linebacker at the deadline. I think it's close now. Could the Seahawks do it? Absolutely. Guys, what's the NFL about? It's about the coach and the quarterback. Pete Carroll made defensive adjustments the second time they played the Cardinals, and you understand that. He is a great coach. The track record speaks for itself. And Russell Wilson, over the last half decade, over the last half dozen years, really, has been the best player in the NFL. If you take that entire period together, there's been no one more valuable than Russell Wilson. Yes, absolutely they can win. Let Jamal Adams really get healthy and get in a rhythm and pair him with Bobby Wagner. And can that defense bend but not break? I believe it can. And by the way, offensively, they haven't had their running backs. They only got half of them back, right? They got Carlos Hyde back, still no Carson. And look what a difference it made when they could establish the run. When they get healthy, and a lot of this is about who's healthiest toward the end of the season, like who is healthy and hot at the right time. And Seattle may have suffered their injuries, knock wood, there are no other big ones, at the right time and can get in rhythm headed for the playoffs. And if Seattle is functioning at full capacity, they could absolutely win the Super Bowl this year. They have a subpar defense, but real playmakers on the defense. They have a great quarterback. They have a great coach. They have a running game when healthy. They obviously have the receivers. The answer is yes.
I actually believe it's no, Max. I'm not a believer in the Seattle Seahawks because when you have the defense that ranks dead last against the pass and 28 in points allowed, I'm just not going to be sold on you when I look at this NFC, when I see New Orleans, when I see Tampa, when I see Green Bay, when I see teams like that, just and the Los Angeles Rams, who's got a top two, a top three ranked defense in the entire National Football League. I am just not going to look at the Seattle Seahawks with their troubles on the defensive side of the ball and say, hey, they can make the Super Bowl. Obviously, you got a puncher's chance any given Sunday. One of my favorite movies with Al Pacino, LL Cool J, Jamie Foxx, and the crew. I mean, any given Sunday, you can apply that. But outside of that, I'm not being sold on this by the slightest. What I will say is that I am impressed with what has happened, what I've seen Arizona do against DK Metcalf, because we all know what a stud he is. He has two catches in the first meeting for 23 yards. Last night, he just had three for 46 yards, even though he scored a touchdown. They seem to hold him in relative check. And if I'm the opposing team, I'm looking at what the Cardinals do against him, and I'm going to try to emulate that to the best of my ability. I know Russell Wilson is a stud. I like what I saw Carlos Hyde do in running the football last night, averaging more than 5 yards a carry. But still in all, when you are a defense that has this kind of trouble, and I'm looking at the NFC with the potent teams that they have within the conference, which I've already named who they are, I'm not going to look at the Seattle Seahawks and think this is a team that could go to the Super Bowl. Of course, again, you have a chance. But I'm just talking about realistically from my vantage point, looking at them as a bona fide big-time threat, I would feel much better about them if their defense showed me something. They showed me a little something last night, but it was 4 days. Arizona had just won that game heroically with the last-second Hail Mary that DeAndre Hopkins jumped over three Buffalo Bills to grab. But still in all, I just look at Seattle's defense. I've got too many questions to think about them. There's four teams I think about before I even think about them right now in terms of a Super Bowl berth, and that's where I'm at with it.
When you look at the Seattle Seahawks, that's the Seattle Seahawks rendition we need to see in order for them to win a Super Bowl. You know, not this YOLO Russ, this Russ that feels like every play is an opportunity to promote his candidacy for the MVP. The not Mr. Unlimited Russell Wilson, the Russell Wilson that offense starts with the run game and a defense that can make enough stops. If we see this type of team, they can win the Super Bowl. If we see this type of team, they can get out of the NFC, because it's not all about, okay, let's get in shootouts. Let's not try to find ways to outscore the other team. Russell Wilson made the right plays last night. When he got out of the pocket and he needed to get 5 yards in slot, he did that. When he had an opportunity to create and hit DK Metcalf for the touchdown, he was able to do that. And Stephen A., you bring up how good the Cardinals did against DK Metcalf. Let's not forget, he had a football hit him in his face mask that would have been a touchdown. He also dropped a crosser that was a catch and run opportunity. And so when you see this team coming along, Carlos Dunlap providing opportunities for Rush, getting to Kyler Murray, getting the sack to win the game. Now you have playmakers on different levels, whether it's Carlos Dunlap, Bobby Wagner, or Jamal Adams. I don't think that this team is a front runner to win the Super Bowl, but what you can do if you hold up enough and you run the football enough is give Russell Wilson a chance to make plays late in games. And this is a guy who is still in the MVP hunt. This is a guy who's playing top level football. And if you give him a chance to make plays in critical situational football moments, I believe you feel good if you're the Seattle Seahawks. This is a start in the right direction. They went up against the number one rushing team in all of the NFL, and they played extremely well up front. They made the plays in the pass game down the stretch in order to get that final stop. This Seattle Seahawks team has a chance because they have 4 games right now against very poor teams, a lot of NFC East teams, where they could be 11-3 headed into the last 2 divisional games of the season, and that's a great place to be for the Seahawks.
Guys, when you think about Seattle and who they have and who they haven't had and what the problem's been, they need shootouts because they don't have a running game because they don't have Hyde or Carson. They can't get pressure on the quarterback because it's not a great defense, but they didn't have Jamal Adams. How did they look yesterday on defense with him back, right? How did they look with even half their running, their two backs back, with one of those guys back? It looked different, didn't it? Their offensive line, by the way, which has been much maligned in recent years for good reason, is much better than it used to be. And their recent play has been very good. Now when you get Carson back pretty soon, you're going to be able to take advantage of the improved play on the line. And with Adams back, you're going to be able to pressure the quarterback much better than you used to be able to. And you still got Russell Wilson. They're live for the Super Bowl, Stephen A.
I get you with the live. I just got to see it to believe it. I'm not saying you're wrong definitively. I just have to see it, because the fact of the matter is we haven't seen much of that from them. Last night we were applauding them because we saw their defense play better than they have in recent memory. We also saw Russell Wilson trying to overcompensate over the previous couple of weeks, which is why they struggled. We also saw, we obviously know they've got some injuries at the running back spot. We know what we believe in terms of DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, the 2 dropped passes notwithstanding. Mm-hmm. But I'm really talking about comparing that to what we see in the NFC already with Green Bay, Tampa, New Orleans, and those Los Angeles Rams in that division. That's what I'm paying attention to, and that's why I've got Seattle right now as arguably the 4th or 5th team. If Drew Brees was there healthy, they'd be the 5th. With Drew Brees out, they might be the 4th, but I got Tampa, Green Bay, and LA ahead of them.
Fair enough. We'll have more on this later. Seattle is favored in their final 5 games. Ryan, quick Gatorade break for you. We're going to sub in Kendrick Perkins now and move to the NBA. Staying in the West Coast, though, in the Bay Area specifically, fellas. As you know, devastating news for Klay Thompson, who just missed a season recovering from a torn ACL in his left leg. Now he'll miss another season with a torn Achilles in his right leg. Here's Golden State GM Bob Myers.
Watching his journey, watching his growth, nobody deserves this. And like I said, nobody deserves anything like this that befalls them. But this is a guy that loves basketball. He bleeds basketball. We talked today, and I told him, I said, Clay, I feel like you're, for you, basketball is like air and water. You have to have it. And he just told me, he said, I've never not played basketball. I just, since 2000, or since whatever, 20, however many years ago, he's always played basketball.
Okay, Big Perk here with us now. Perk, good to see you. Stephen A., I'm going to start with you. It pains me to ask this question, but do you feel at this point that the Warriors' run is officially over?
No, I don't believe that because, I mean, obviously they're going to struggle this year. I still think they'll make the playoffs this year, especially if they finish and finalize this deal with Kelly Oubre. I think that will be an upgrade, and I think that will help immensely. As long as Steph is in that lineup healthy and you've got some pieces around him, you can make the playoffs. Are they going to go to the finals? No, I don't believe that's going to happen. But in terms of Klay coming back, remember, Klay is a sniper, an elite sniper. As far as I'm concerned, one of the top five shooters in the history of basketball. A surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, a three-time champion, five straight trips to the NBA Finals, none of which would have occurred had he not been there, as far as I'm concerned, at least the first couple of years before Kevin Durant got there. I don't believe that would have happened. Klay Thompson is that special. He's that underappreciated. As far as I'm concerned, the biggest crime that has ever taken place against him was when the media didn't put him on the third team. And I believe it was Kemba Walker, if I remember correctly, Max and Kendrick. I'm not sure, but I believe it was Kemba Walker. But when you consider the fact that Klay Thompson has done what he's done over the course of his career, and the media cost him an opportunity to get the Supermax deal for over $220 million. And he had to settle for like $30 to $35 million less just because he wasn't selected on that third team All-NBA over a year ago. That was criminal, because this is Klay Thompson that we're talking about here. So I'm really sad that he's down, because he makes the NBA better. Watching him and Steph Curry, I mean, it is a show. Make no mistake about it. You walk through the turnstiles to see what they bring to the table. So I'm incredibly sad for him. He deserves all the praise in the world, all our prayers for him to come back healthy, because he makes the game better. But in the end, I think ultimately when he comes back, they will pick up right where they left off, being championship contenders, because I don't believe you lose your shot. And as KP explained yesterday about KD, when KD had that foot injury and KD was literally sitting in chairs or shooting jump shots, you don't lose your marksmanship because of an Achilles tear or anything like that. Klay will eventually be back. And once he's back, as long as him and Steph Curry are in the lineup together, they are a championship contender, period.
Klay is an incredible shooter, but that's half the story with him. He's also an excellent defender. And you know, coming off an ACL, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, he'll get back, sure. I was thinking, well, at least it's not an Achilles, but that's not a cupcake. That's tough to come back from at 100%. And now it is an Achilles in addition, you know, in back-to-back years. Look, can they get back? It's possible they can get back, because it starts with ownership. We had Joe Lacob on the show yesterday. He's a very impressive guy. He's willing to spend luxury tax like no one else. And he's very competitive, as Bob Myers, the GM, said, who's also been very impressive, as has Steve Kerr, as has the heart and soul, the engine, rather, of that team, Steph Curry, who's back, as has his pick and roll partner, who I actually think has been the second most important, you know, piece in the dynasty. Obviously, you know, AD was better, but Steph's pick and roll partner has been Draymond. Draymond's the guy that allows him to play five out. Draymond does the dirty work. So they still have all, you know, the ownership, front office, coach, star player, and his maybe most important piece. In that sense, the nucleus is still there. And because they just got Wiseman, who may be an excellent, excellent player, and they can either keep him or move him eventually, we'll see. Yes, they could get back, but in a bigger sense, the dynasty is over. In the bigger sense, like, I remember the Yankees of the late 90s, Stephen A., they won 4 out of 5 World Series, right? Like, it'll never happen again. And they were good for years afterwards. They made the playoffs, and they even got back, Derek Jeter did, in 2009, right? They finally get back. But they weren't the dynasty anymore after 2000. The dynasty was over. They were still a powerhouse team, but that level of dominance has ended. And the thing about this Golden State Warriors team is, we recognize, look, KD left, and then they had injuries to their two best players after KD left. We got to give them a pass on this season. In their absence, LeBron and AD come together in LA, and they win the chip, and the Clippers get a couple of stars together, and Denver's on its way up. But here comes Golden State again. They're going to come back, and now we're going to see what's what. Do they reclaim the throne or even get close so we can see they make a move or two and it's back to being Golden State? No, that's over now. It's over now. KD is gone. Klay just suffered his second consecutive catastrophic injury. He won't play this year. We don't know what he's going to be when he gets back. And if they maneuver pieces and through good stewardship and coaching and Steph Curry, they eventually get back and maybe win one more. That's great. But the era that we knew of the Warriors has come to an end.
No, it hasn't, Max, and you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. Because when you look at guys like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, these are guys that don't rely on their athleticism. And the way that they play, the style of play that they bring to the table, they could play like this for the next 5 or 6 years because they're shooters. They're not leapers. They're not high flyers. So now when you look at this year's Golden State team and you add an Andrew Wiggins, a James Wiseman, and a Kelly Oubre, now you're able to mold them and to show them championship mentality and a championship culture, and you're able to mold them and get them repetition, which I still believe that the Golden State Warriors are going to make the playoffs this year. They're going to make the playoffs. I think this was a great pickup, a great trade by picking up Kelly Oubre. Now all these guys have a year under their belt of playing with this excellent culture, being coached by one of the best defensive coaches in the game today in Ron Adams, and Steve Kerr and Mike Brown adding a touch and twist to it on the offensive end, because we all know how hard it is to stop Golden State offense because all of the down screens and the pick action and the moving without the ball. So now you mold these young guys this season, and then Klay comes back next season, which makes them even more deep and have more depth on the bench. The run is not over by any means. To me, it with them adding Kelly Oubre, it extends it. So I'm looking at this Golden State team, and they at least have 4 or 5 years left at contending for a title once Klay get back. Just because Klay and Steph, who's the foundation, who's one of the best backcourts that in NBA history, in my opinion, don't rely on athleticism. So with that being said, they could play this style for a long, long time.
I love the fact that you mentioned, Ron Adams, because Ron Adams, Max, is one of the most exceptional coaches this game has seen. He's definitely elite on that defensive side of the ball. Mike Brown is nothing to sneeze at. He was a former head coach in the NBA in Cleveland and L.A., but he's a hell of an assistant coach. And we just got to give love and respect to Steve Kerr, because he's proven to be one of the elite coaches this game has ever seen. You take a team to 5 straight finals and you win 3 chips. You got to give respect where respect is due. So now you look at the parts around them. And when you talk about adding a Kelly Oubre with or already having Andrew Wiggins, and then you top that off with Draymond Green's experience, because Draymond's a basketball savant. He needs to improve his 3-point shooting. He knows that. I certainly told him that. But if you look at how he plays the game, the mind that he has, knowing what to do and when to do it, he is a special, special brother in terms of just running a show, playing that point forward spot to some degree. And of course, there's Steph Curry. They've got pieces to be formidable enough not only to make it to the postseason, particularly with the acquisition of Kelly Oubre, but they could potentially make some noise. They could scare somebody. They can knock somebody off. You just never know.
I keep hearing about how KD and Klay, and in this case Klay, because we're talking about the Warriors, don't rely on athleticism, and therefore an Achilles injury may not be as devastating to them as to another player. That's an intuitive take. That feels right. But I think my conclusion may be counterintuitive. Maybe it doesn't feel right, but you got to think about it. When Dominique Wilkins came back, he developed a better shot, right? Because some of the athleticism, even though he had a very successful comeback in Perk, you think, Dominique Wilkins was a million years ago. No, he's a success story. He's one of the few. Dominique Wilkins came back from this more successfully than many athletes in recent times have, okay? I'm using him as a success story. But one of the reasons that he had success was he developed a better shot, right? Like, in other words, if you have a super athletic player who relies on their athletic ability in order to be great, if you take some of that ability away, there are things they can fall back on, developing a shot, playing deep, whatever it may be, right? But if you're already a guy who shoots it better than anyone ever, who's very fundamentally sound, who relies on a lot of the things that the super athletes kind of evolve into eventually, once they're once something is taken away from them, I don't think it's as easy for them to evolve into a new player that compensates for some of
so
their
what
lost
are you saying?
Athletic ability. And whatever you want to say about
So
Clay,
what are you saying? Are you saying the Warriors are finished?
I'm saying I'm saying the Warriors may eventually get back, but the dynasty is over. You have to give credit to the GM, the coach, the owner, Steph Curry, Draymond.
How is it over if they make it back?
In the form of now Wiseman. It ain't going to be this year.
I'm asking a direct question. I'm asking a direct question. How is this over if you may get back? If you may get back, that means it's not over.
I brought up the analogy, Stephen A. Derek Jeter was on 4 out of 5 championship teams starting in 96 and ending in 2000. They won again in 2009. It wasn't the same dynasty. It was a new team. If Steph Curry ever wins another championship in Golden State, it will not resemble the same team, and it's going to be years from now. It ain't going to be this year or next year.
Always,
all right, death, taxes, and Max has a Yankees analogy.
Kelly Oubre, come on. You're talking about like below, slightly below average starter on the team and acting like they got some.
All right, fellas.
Are you serious, Max?
Let's not forget. All right. Let's not forget they got James Wiseman, too, from Memphis with that second pick. We will leave it there. Max, thank you for the Yankees analogy. Things are right today. Now I feel like I can check that off the list. We got it in the show. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Ever since, you know, coming back from Corona, to be honest with you, you know, I felt stagnant in my thought process, and the play's pre-snap production wasn't happening fast enough for me in games. I mean, did it happen in practice? Yeah, but you know, still not fast enough. And even still now, I can get better. So each day, each week is an opportunity for me to, you know, really hone in this offense and just do my job. And that's what it really comes boils down to.
All right, fellas, you just heard Cam. Like many who have battled COVID, they have these lingering after effects of not feeling as sharp, a bit of a brain fog, as it's been described to me. After hearing Cam there now, Stephen A., obviously he's played better the last 2 weeks, no turnovers. They won 2 in a row. They're 3rd in the division. Do you think they're any closer to winning the AFC East?
I don't. I've said the other day that I thought that their window was closed. It's not to say that they won't have. I predicted they'd go 4-3 over their last 7 games. If y'all remember correctly, I think that puts them at like 8-8, and that would be their record. And obviously, I anticipate that both the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills will have better records than that. And as a result, the Patriots would be on the outside looking in. I certainly can appreciate where Cam Newton is coming from. We don't know the effects, the lingering effects. We hear in a lot of situations what those lingering effects from COVID-19 entail. We understand that, and certainly we don't want to dismiss that. we understand how serious this is. It's not an excuse. It's the truth. It's real. And we have to respect Cam Newton and where he's coming from. And, you know, we wish him nothing but the best in terms of being on a path to continued health. He's an Adonis, a stud already. And so for him to be affected as dramatically as he was explaining he was affected, it makes it even more scary, because how many people are in the have the level of health, conditioning, the physique, and all of that stuff that comes with it that Cam Newton has. He's one of the elite athletes that we've seen in quite some time. So for him to have those lingering effects, it's not something that we can ignore or dismiss. Certainly we can't insult or criticize him over it. But in the end, I think that their window was there. And obviously that's not the case anymore. At 4-5, I just think it's a daunting task to expect them to overcome Buffalo and Miami in the AFC East. And I just think that their window for this season is closed. But I do believe that because of what he's explained, I think it explains that time when Bill Belichick benched him and went over and patted him on the leg and gave him some encouragement, which is not something that we see Bill Belichick do. Obviously, Bill Belichick has more knowledge about his situation than we would. So that really explains to me that Bill Belichick had a level of understanding about what was going on a deep level, similar to obviously what Cam Newton explained. And I think that you can expect to see Cam Newton getting a second chance back in New England next year when those players come back and you have better personnel to surround him with. But for this season, I just don't see it.
Your logic is sound. The odds are against them, but I don't think so far against them that they can't do it. I think the Patriots can win the AFC East. And by the way, Cam has not made a single excuse, not a single excuse this year. So when he gives you an explanation, when he's asked point blank about it, he's just being honest. And how do I know he's being honest? It was obvious to me from where I was sitting. Guys, I brought it up every time this topic's come up. Look at the fact pattern, right? Week one, like, first of all, can they win the AFC East? They've beaten Miami by 2 scores. They came a play away from beating the Bills, but Cam got stripped, right? And they beat the Jets. Can they win the AFC East? Well, they can clearly beat all the teams in the AFC East. They can. They came a play away from beating Buffalo, and they beat Miami. I mean, forget about the Jets already, right? But it was obvious to me, and I kept bringing it up. Here were the facts. They beat Miami week one. A goal line stand by Seattle. Bobby Wagner, remember when I talked about the Seattle playmakers? Well, he's one. Is the only thing between them and a victory against Seattle, right? They then beat the Raiders by multiple scores, okay? They did these things. I'm not making it up. They have quality wins on the resume this season. The Patriots lost to the Chiefs because Cam had, everyone lose to the Chiefs, right? But because Cam had COVID, he couldn't play, and they still were competitive against the Chiefs, right? Practice facility shut down. Guys couldn't practice. The defense lost guys, like star players, Hightower and these guys, before the season ever starts. Gilmore, everybody's hurt, not playing. They don't have any talent on offense. They were very competitive with the Chiefs without Cam Newton even. And a terrible call went against them. It was the wrong call, which changed the momentum of the game. Otherwise, who knows? And that's the Chiefs we're talking about. Now, Cam has COVID, right? He comes back from it. And they start to suffer bad losses. The Broncos, the Niners, those were bad losses, and Cam looked bad. And so I openly speculated at the time, the man just had COVID. He doesn't look the same. Plus, if a team without a lot of talent, but with Bill Belichick, needs to practice a lot. They need to put in that time. They couldn't put in the time around the time of those games. And so they lost a couple bad games. And then they got right back on the stick. Right? They beat the Jets, and then they beat Baltimore. These are quality. Miami, Vegas, Baltimore, those are quality wins, and 2 narrow losses to Seattle and Buffalo. Yes, they don't have a lot of margin for error. Yes, because of these circumstances, Stephen A., you're right, the odds are not with them, but can they win? Guys, coach and quarterback, that's what it's all about in the NFL. The greatest coach of all time is Bill Belichick. So now we're asking about the quarterback. The reason Cam didn't have a job was injury, not performance. Under North Turner, Cam Newton, former MVP with a Super Bowl appearance under his belt, was having his best statistical season. Then he got hurt. That's the last time we really saw him play. And then he looked good early this year, and then he got hurt with COVID again. That's why he looked bad. A healthy Cam Newton with Bill Belichick, yes, they can win the AFC East.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, here's my problem. And believe it or not, I'm going to bring Colin Kaepernick up in this situation. Obviously, although both those situations are completely different from one another. A lot of times when people sit up there and say that Colin Kaepernick deserves a job in the NFL, my response is he deserves a tryout because he's been gone for 4 years. Aside from all of that stuff, when it comes down to the bare bones of just football, you've been gone for quite some time. So it doesn't entitle you to a job. It entitles you to the opportunity to prove that you're still worthy of that job. Yep. In the case of Cam Newton, you bring up injury. Of course he's been injured. Of course, last time we saw him in a full season, he played those 14 games in 2018 under Norv Turner, completing about 68% of his passes, got injured in that game against the Pittsburgh Steelers and was never the same, but was playing like an MVP candidate prior to that. But in a few years before that, that wasn't the case until Norv Turner arrived. And then after he got injured when Norv Turner was there, he came back, all right, in 2019, only played 2 games. And then he played this year. So essentially, he's been gone for the better part of the previous 2 years. I understand injuries had something to do with that. But just because you got injured does not necessarily mean, Max, that you forget the residual impact that it could potentially have. To sit up there and say, well, the last time we saw him, this is what he was doing. And the only thing was injury. Well, injuries have ravaged a lot of careers. And potentially, it could have had, I'm not saying it has with him, but I'm saying potentially that injury that sat him down could have had a detrimental impact.
I agree. It could have. So that was, and I totally agree with you about Kaepernick. It's not the job that's guaranteed, but the opportunity should be guaranteed if he hasn't broken any rules. Same thing with Cam.
Correct.
You don't guarantee anything, but the okay, so what happened this season early? Did he look good or bad? Forget about the numbers. You can point to completion percentage. It was okay. It wasn't star.
He looked great against Seattle.
It was NFL.
He looked so-so against Miami and Vegas. He looked so-so against Miami and Vegas. Looked great against Seattle.
Doesn't try. Right, I agree. I agree, Stephen A., but Belichick uses the tools he has, and he knows Cam can run the ball, so he's using them that way and throwing when he needs to. And the fact is, after three weeks, they were 2-1 with a narrow loss to Seattle, and since he's gotten healthy after COVID, they've been good again. They just beat the Baltimore Ravens. So like you could talk about, well, it was in the rain. What, Baltimore can't run? So yes, you're right. You don't just assume Cam can play. I've watched him this year. He can play.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with the Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Another battle in the AFC West. First place versus second place. The Raiders took round one. And now the question is, can they pull off the sweep against the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champs? Stephen A., I will start with you. What do you think? Can they get it done in Vegas and beat the Chiefs twice?
Who's this?
I'm sorry, Molly.
Stephen A., you asked questions for me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was asking Stephen A.
Yes.
You get the question?
Yeah. I'm worried about the Raiders. The lone loss on the Kansas City Chiefs resume this year is to the Raiders. Then we got John Gruden and the Raiders talking a little smack. I got news for you. We're going to find out a little something about Patrick Mahomes this weekend. We know how good he is. We know how great he is. We get all of that, Max. But people have been raving and lording praise down upon Patrick Mahomes since he became a starter in the league and he threw 50 touchdowns in his first year as a starter. We've seen all of that. You know what we haven't? The one thing we haven't seen from Patrick Mahomes, Max, is if he's angry and he feels like somebody's trying to throw shade on him. We have not seen how he would respond to that. We can only imagine how he would respond, but we haven't seen it yet. And the Raiders are my team that I'd say is the sleeper. I think John Gruden's doing a hell of a job along with Mike Mayock. I do. I think they deserve a lot of credit. I think Derek Carr, who's been on a mission to regain some of the respect he thinks he may have lost over the last few years, he's having an outstanding season. I've been very impressed with what I've seen with Derek Carr. Not turning the ball open, throwing the ball with some accuracy, not folding under pressure, what have you. I've been very impressed with what I've seen from Derek Carr. Then you've got, obviously, Ruggs, and you've got Waller and these boys, and Josh Jacobs running the football. They could play smash mouth if you ask them to. They've got a really good offensive line. I'm just looking at the Raiders right now, and based on what I'm seeing from them, I'm like, okay, what you got? And because I think this weekend, regardless of everything I just said, I think the Chiefs are going to give it to them. I think the Chiefs are going to come out looking at that one blemish on their record. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to be looking for a potential blowout this Sunday with the Chiefs and the Raiders. We need to keep our eyes on that. The Raiders better be ready because they could be in some trouble.
Well, the Chiefs are capable of blowing out any team. And I hear what you're saying. I think it's an interesting point about Mahomes and the Chiefs. Like, they have something to prove now against the Raiders, you know, divisional rival. But the Chiefs, let's not forget, I mean, the Raiders, rather, let's not forget, had the same situation going into the first game. So Derek Carr especially, can he throw it down the field? And he obviously was highly motivated. Let's see what happens with Mahomes now. I like that point. But if the question is, can the Raiders win again? The answer is yes. A lot of things have to go right. But they did the first time they met. First of all, the Chiefs want to avoid shootouts, which is shocking. I keep telling you this, Stephen A. Casey Joyner, the football scientist, appears on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, 2 p.m. Eastern. Check it out. And informed me several weeks ago, Chiefs want to avoid shootouts. What? When Mahomes burst on the scene in 2018, they were beating everyone with shootouts. What do you mean they want to avoid shootouts? They want to avoid shootouts. They're above 500 in those kind of games, but not much. And in every other game, they're almost undefeated. So if you can get into a shootout with the Chiefs, at least you have a chance. But the Raiders didn't simply get into a shootout with them. They got excellent line play. They had some speed on the outside. And Derek Carr was throwing good passes, accurate passes down the field. So they jumped out to a lead. And in the second half, rather than continuing to do that, Gruden showed his chops, which, you know, if you've watched Gruden at all, you know he's got them, coaching chops. When he stopped taking those shots down the field and with a lead, starts to run the ball, right? A lot of things went right for them, including excellent offensive line play against the Chiefs defense, which in the last year and a half has actually been very good for the most part. Mm-hmm. Excellent play by Derek Carr and smart coaching late in the game to grind it out after throwing the ball down the field. The question is, can the Raiders repeat that, or can Gruden have another trick up his sleeve? In other words, do we think that's a parlor trick Gruden ran, or do we think he's actually an excellent coach and can make adjustments? I think Gruden's actually an excellent coach and can make adjustments. I think Derek Carr is capable of playing at a high level, whether or not he always does. He'll be highly motivated to do that now. And I think the Raiders have shown that they can draw the Chiefs into a shootout, into a slugfest, which at least gives them a chance. They could sweep. The Chiefs could wind up losing the season series, getting swept by the Raiders, and those being the only two losses on their record in the regular season. This could happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me do this, guys. RC, I know you didn't get to weigh in on this, but I want to transition to the breaking news right now on First Take. Saints quarterback Taysom Hill will start Sunday against the Falcons in place of the injured Drew Brees. A source telling our Adam Schefter, Hill took all the starter reps in practice this week. He will be backed up by Jameis Winston on Sunday. Ryan, tell me this. You're down there in New Orleans. Do you think Taysom Hill gives the Saints the best chance until Brees comes back?
No, I don't. But I do think Taysom Hill changes everything. I think Taysom Hill, you look at what the Baltimore Ravens do, I think you think that on steroids, because I believe they're going to run the ball constantly, continuously. I believe if his first read isn't open, Taysom Hill is going to take off. But all I can think of is how bad must Jameis Winston look? How bad does
exactly.
he have to be in practice? Or on the other side, of it, like, has Sean Payton been telling us the truth this whole time? Sean Payton said that this was Steve Young. Sean Payton said he was the future of the New Orleans Saints and Taysom Hill. Like, I just don't know if I believe that. When I watch him, even when he runs his Wildcat reps and you look at the footballs that he throws, nothing about those balls says future Hall of Famer like Steve Young was. I don't necessarily believe that Taysom Hill is a better passer than Lamar Jackson. So when I think about what the New Orleans Saints could be with Jameis Winston, if Jameis Winston does push the ball down the field, if you eliminate some of the turnovers, that excites me. That makes me feel like, okay, this is going to be an explosive offense in the past, and now you can still do things with Alvin Kamara. This is going to be totally different with Taysom Hill. This is going to be something that I feel like maybe we've never seen in this league. From a power run standpoint, from the how quickly the runs come from the quarterback, how often they're called, I don't know if this works for 4 weeks, but I do know I don't want to be Raheem Morris and the Atlanta Falcons trying to figure out what this offense will look like this week. I don't want to be the first team to play them before it gets on tape, because very early on in the game, I think it's going to be difficult to stop. I think you're not going to know which plays to call in order to whether you want to force the ball out of his hands fast or play zone and make him throw it in front of you. This is going to be very interesting. And if Sean Payton pulls this off and if this works, this is really going to be one of the greater coaching decisions and best coaching jobs of his career.
Want a Stephen A?
Oh, I thought Max was going. My fault.
I'm happy to go. You let me know.
Go ahead, Max. Go ahead. I was going to say something about Taysom, but go ahead.
Well, I will say this. I was wondering why Sean Payton was lying to me. Because he was pumping up in the Super Bowl. Remember that, Stephen A? Sean Payton was stayed pumping up Taysom Hill. And then I'm like, yeah, but watch, now Jameis is going to get the ball. So, like, what was in it for Coach? And he didn't seem to be, you know, you can kind of usually tell if someone, he didn't seem to have an agenda or be lying. You know, Bridgewater was going to sign away, and he thought Taysom Hill was going to be the future, and they didn't even know if Drew Brees was coming back at the time, right? He really believed in Taysom Hill. So I'm sitting here going, oh, but Jameis Winston's going to get the ball. He just showed up yesterday. He's going to get the ball today. When Taysom Hill's been in the offense for years already, so that tells me Taysom Hill has no future. What was in it for Coach? Why'd he make that up? Apparently he wasn't making it up. Look, Taysom Hill has been on the team for years. He knows the offense very well at this point, you would assume. And when I think of the best players in football, this is going to sound funny. I think of two guys differently than everyone else. The way you think of, like, Walter Payton as just, like, maybe the greatest football player of all time, all the things he could do, right? I think of Odell Beckham Jr., we know who can throw a ball 50 yards with his offhand, who can kick field goals maybe if you need, could do everything. But Odell has one skill, catching the ball, that is great enough that he doesn't have to be a gadget player who can do a lot of all things, a jack of all trades, master of none. Odell is a jack of all trades, master of one. So he's a premier wideout, right? I think of Taysom Hill the same kind of way I think of Odell. Great athlete, great at a lot of things. In a way, those two are like better football players than everyone else. But the question is, do they have the one skill that is pitched higher than everyone else's that makes them valuable at a specific position? Like, Taysom Hill is fast. Taysom Hill is rugged. He's strong. Taysom Hill can catch the ball. He can throw the ball. I guess, he must not read defenses and process information quickly enough, or else Sean Payton would be serious about giving him the ball under center. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe Sean Payton was telling us the truth. Maybe he can read defenses and process information fast enough because it appears he's going to be the Saints quarterback. That is amazing. And a guy who's been considered a gadget player for so long by so many, whenever I watch him, I go, oh my God, this guy's amazing. If only he could do one thing well enough to be great at that position. Maybe he can. Let's see.
Fellas, Taysom Hill is 30 years old. How many passes has this man thrown in his career? Can somebody help me out? Because I count four passes this year. He's 30, And I don't know if he's thrown 100 passes. I don't know if he's thrown 50 passes in his career. Now, forgive me. Forgive me. I apologize. Because I could be wrong. And I wish him nothing but the best. But Ryan Clark, Super Bowl champion Ryan Clark, NFL analyst aficionado Ryan Clark. If a brother can throw, don't we know that before he's 30? This is the NFL, Max. This is the NFL. Don't we know that before he's 30?
Good point.
He's 30. He ain't 21. He ain't 22. He's 30. He might be his number in terms of his age might eclipse the amount of passing attempts he's had in his career. And this man is not a starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. Jameis Winston, that is the ultimate indictment. Now, we know Jameis Winston is 28 and 42 as a starter. But he was a five-year starter in the National Football League. If I'm going to be benched after Drew Brees gets hurt, Max, Ryan, and it's going to be to a 30-year-old, I'd like to believe it's a Ryan Fitzpatrick type dude that, or an Andy Dalton type dude that's thrown passes in the league. I think the only people that have thrown in the league, other than Chase Daniels in Chicago when he was backing up Trubisky, other than him because he got paid for doing nothing on a Sunday. But other than him, I don't know anybody in the NFL playing the quarterback position that has had less passing attempts than Taysom Hill. And a five-year starter that is Jameis Winston, and you lose the job to him? I wish Taysom Hill luck, but boy, is this an indictment against Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says.
This is bad.
It looks bad.
Guys, Jameis just got to the team. He doesn't know the offense the way a guy who's been in the offense for years knows the offense. We're in the middle of the season, and Taysom Hill's been there, knows the offense, and the reason he hasn't gotten a lot of snaps under center is they had Bridgewater last year.
A lot of people just got to new teams, rookies, switching teams, and they threw them into the fire. I'm not buying that one.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.